You know, the JL standing in her home probably didn't know the date. She knew there was a battle. She knew there was a war. They knew that Israel had gathered themselves. She knew there was a pending conflict, but she was home. And she just could respond. She could see what God brought to her. She could know how to position the enemy so that the enemy could be undone. And God's going to do that, is doing that. I was sitting in my office between service, and I felt the Lord say, how do I prepare a prime minister? And he said, well, I usually first have him betrayed by his brothers. Then I sell him as a slave. And then I cause him to be accused of some heinous act. Then I put him in a prison. And then I forget him. I don't forget him, but he feels forgotten. And then when he's reconciled all that, he's ready to rule. I thought, then he said, how do I prepare my kings? Well, I anoint them when no one wants them. I send them I give them, a song in their heart, and they sing in the desert, and then I give them a chance to serve a mad king, a crazy king, who gets jealous of them, chases them, and tries to kill them. And then he's ready. How do I raise my apostles? Well, I pick the most unlikely ones, the terrorists of the day, the crazies, and then I send them away. And I dismantle their righteousness, so they have none of their own. I take them from all the resource that they carried, all the intelligence and gifting. I place them in a place where they become dependent upon me, and then they can speak for me. So on and on and on and on. How do I take a deliverer of a nation? Well, that takes more time. First, you place them in an awkward position to grow up in the nation that he will one day deliver the nation out of. Then you send him off in the desert, so he loses all his confidence of all the skills he learned at Harvard. And then he sitting there reluctantly having to go and stand in front of the man he knew as he grew up in his own house and tell him, you got to let my people go. And then I place him in the desert with the people he delivered and said, you take care of them. And we have an argument for 40 years of whose people are they? Really, that's us. That's you, me, everyone. And every one of us are in something that's, the other thing the Lord said to me this morning, he kept bringing me back to Mark 8, where Jesus asked, who do men say that this I, the Son of Man, am? And that's when Peter says, you're the Christ. And he says, that's great. And then he begins to tell him, the Son of Man, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm being mistreated. I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'm going to raise from the dead. And Peter's saying, that can't be. That's not the way we see kingdom advance. And so he rebukes Peter. And then he says to all of the disciples, said, if you desire to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself. And then you're going to have to pick up whatever that thing is in your life that you don't like and just keep following me anyway. And what I saw there, because we think of the cross as something that's like something religious, like it's, we're framed inside a church and we all know it's something. Everything that ever happens bad in your life is always given a report with the bad that it's because God doesn't like you and you're doing a bad thing. So there's so much reproach whenever you're going through something that it shuts you down. And our soul says, I can't go on until we solve this. I'm just going to stop. And Jesus says, no, those things are here to stop you, but don't let them stop you. Just go through them. Just pick it up and go follow me, because I'm going to turn it all around for good when it's time to turn around for good. But I'm saying all of this to say that every person in the Bible that ever accomplished some incredible thing was given more reason to quit than anybody. And that's you and me. This room, everyone online. Your life is not like accidental. You're purposeful. You're in the place that God has prepared for times such as this. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want my sons and daughters to join with their Lord and realign their faith that Christ is greater than wherever they're at, and that his will be done in their life, no matter what it looks like, and that the obstacles that are stopping them will no longer stop them. You'll either go through them or carry them, but you're not stopping. And I just sense there's a strength coming. Because the revelation of Jesus, which we need the Holy Spirit for, we'll see in a moment, is also we need the Holy Spirit to give us the power of God from the riches of the glory of God to strengthen us with might in our inner man so that we can Christ can dwell there in faith. Otherwise, we're always just trying to find, where's Jesus? Well, he's in our belly, in our heart by faith, but he's also, you know, seated in his ascended position in heaven, which we relate to him from there. But I feel like right now the Lord wants to just he wants to come in and cover you and unlock us from, he wants to strengthen us with might. Would anybody like to be strengthened with might through his spirit in our inner man? Let's just stand up. And I just feel there's a picture with me. Ephesians 3, the prayer of Paul. He prays to the Father of heaven, of all families in heaven and earth. He's asked that the Father will, from the riches of his glory, so that's in the realm of heaven, will, by the Holy Spirit's ministry, take that and translate it into might, into our, and strengthen our inner man. So just put your hands up, and I want to declare that prayer, and I want you to receive it. Holy Spirit, you are the communicator of power. We cannot be a witness without your power. We cannot receive Jesus without your power. We can't hold Jesus in our heart by faith without your power. So I'm asking, we ask you right now, according to the riches of glory, you would strengthen us with might, Father, through your spirit in our inner man. And so the JLs could rise. Shahaba. We could stop. We would not pine away in our loss. We would see the opportunity. Whoa! We declare right now where we've been placed is by God's hand. And we are here on purpose. And we have a purpose. And it will be fulfilled. Sha-ra-ba-ba-ba-ba. And whatever stopping us will not keep us from Jesus. Ho! Yikara-ba-ba-ba-ba-re. Whatever's keeping us, whatever's hindering us will not stop us from following Jesus. Jesus is accessible every time, every day. We want you to awaken our spirit man right now. We say, spirit man, rise up. Come alive. Come back alive. Come up. Come up. Come up. Come up higher. Come up into the high ascended vision. Come alive. Faith, faith, faith. Rise up, Holy Spirit, in our spirit. Whoa. And we ask that you would root us in the love. Right now, God says this is a summer of love, but I was the one who came up with that a long time ago before anybody else did, because I root you and ground you in love. So the Holy Spirit pours love into our hearts. So if you've been, wherever you've been feeling most rejected, most overwhelmed, most secluded, most forgotten, let the love of God now come flood there, right there, in the name of Jesus. Did you know you can have love in your life without things working right? Oh, whoa, you can be loved without anyone loving you? Oh, whoa, whoa, come on. Who wants to be loved by Jesus? Who wants the Holy Spirit to pour out the love that God has for us in Christ? Holy Spirit, pour out the love of God God has for us in Christ into our heart. Every one of us, everyone online right now. Whoa, whoa. There, yeah, yeah, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Say it with me. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Whoa. So he's collecting us back to himself, faith, love. And then he says that there's a possibility that all the saints, by gazing upon this glorified Christ, can experience the love in its height, its width, its depth, and its length. And in that, grow into a maturity of fullness. So let's practice. I don't know how to do it, but let's just try it. Let's gaze to Christ. All of us look upon him. The resurrected, glorified Son of Man standing at the right hand of God the Father. And all his love for us. Now let him pour, let us see this expansive love. Everything in life that has happened is still inside of the love of God. Everything that has been afflictions or separations, we begin to see, no, the love of God is extending into our life, taking position, taking possession, taking us into a higher union. Who? Fullness. Love. You love us. Holy Spirit, come. Make the revelation of the love that God has. You say we're growing up into the head. So into Christ we grow. And from the head, all the life of God flows into the body. And the body grows up in maturity through love. And the love language, the love sound, the liberation, the giving. Put your hand on, touch somebody next to you. Pray for them right now and say, let the love would start to flow from one another to each other, from Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Come, come. More love, more. You, God. Whoa. More, Lord, more, Lord, more. Whoa, shikaramama, yedamama, whoa. Now, whoa. Pray for the person on your right. Just now, send the Spirit. Send the blessing. Send the victory. Send the fullness. Declare their future. Christ who knows it fully. Christ who won it completely. Holy Spirit who's fully aware. Power to bring it into future. The JLs will arise. Ha ta-da, ha ta-da. The Barnabases will rise. The Sauls of Tarsus will come alive. Hoya ta-da. In the name, in the name, in the name. To the right, to the right. We declare right. Ha! Now let that same blessing that you just received go back to the one who sent it and send it to the left. Send the blessing of the Spirit to the left, to the fulfillment, to the plan, the purpose, the whoa! We're releasing the life of God, the love of God, the blessing of God, the faith of God. Everybody online, you touch us in the name of Jesus. You're a part. Receive, 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 receive power and might. Strengthen in your inner man. Christ dwelling in your heart by faith. You're rooted and grounded in love. You're with us right now in a comprehension moment. Whoa, apprehension. Whoa. 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 And now it says that to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Just say out loud to your life, there's more power in me than against me. There's the greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is giving life to my mortal body. Life. 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 Whoa. Life. Whoa. Life. Whoa. Yeah, this is good. This is, when we were in prayer room, I kept hearing the Father say, I just want to activate my body. I want them all to be actively, I want to call them forward, to call them up and call them in, not to the mind, to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Whoa. Diana, can you come up? That song we were singing before, Build Me Up, I heard the word, the Lord say, fill me up. A lot of times we building, for me, puts pressure on me to maintain what I build or he builds. But to be filled is I become a vessel. Whatever condition I'm in, he can fill a vessel. So it says, fill me up so that all they see. And then in a moment we can say, fill me up so that all I see is you, Lord, glorified. Fill me up.
Fill me up till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill me up till all they see is you, Lord.
Now, I think this would not be pretentious. I think this is actually humility. If we could sing, fill me up till all I see is you, Lord. Because until I see you as all, there's no way you'll glorify your name, because I will retreat. I will lose my place. So fill me up till all I see is you, Lord. Can we sing that? Make it a prayer right now. Firstborn from the dead, the risen Lord, Savior, High Priest, glorious King, Son of Man. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. As we look into your word, the written word, the historical account of your church coming forth, your glorious Son taking reign as head, seated at your right hand. Holy Spirit, your ministry here to make Jesus famous. Make him famous now in us. Make him famous before us. May we see what only we can see when the Holy Spirit gives us eyes to see. May we hear what only we can hear when the Holy Spirit speaks into our heart. May we understand what you only, Holy Spirit, can give us revelation to, so that we might know all that you're doing and agree with you, even in the midst of chaos. Lord, wherever we've been abandoned or forsaken or find ourselves in prison situations, we know that they are but a holding cell until your glory is broken forth. So, Lord, we sit down with Christ in heavenly places to commune with Christ in the Holy Spirit's teaching, to become like Christ in conformity to the resurrected one. We give you that permission. We need you to do all that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated in Christ. No, you won't hurt him. Seated in him. Okay. We'll probably finish it, but we'll, yeah, take a break for that. Acts chapter 7. What did I do? The other reason we're no good at announcements or directions is we get in the spirit and you... Acts chapter 7, verse 54. I'm going to just read a couple verses. They're really important. When they heard these things, this is the Sanhedrin after Stephen's message, they were cut to their heart. They lost their mind. They became filled with rage, is what it means, that they were cut asunder. And they gnashed at him with their teeth. That's not a very friendly reroll. You know, that wasn't like an applause. They're demoniacs. The religious spirit in resistance to this message of supremacy of Jesus Christ and the bringing to point their hypocrisy and their service. Just this was a major moment. I don't know if I would not want to be there. Would anybody want to have a Bible study like that? They're in your living room, gnashing their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit. You see, there's two realms, two realities. You choose which one you want to be in. Sometimes you can't get to the one you want to be in. So you got to then find your way back into that. Because he was being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd have been being intimidated. I'd be thinking, now how could I bring this down so we can all feel good about ourselves? Right? I'm a peacemaker. I don't want it to. But he's being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you see, the Holy Spirit is the one who is not controlled by, intimidated by the circumstances that we're in. He doesn't care how we are, how we got there and why we're there. He just knows what he's doing and who he wants us to see. So he's full. And it says he gazed into heaven. Again, now that's hard to do. Trust me, the reason God allows us to go through bad things is so we can learn to see him in bad things. Not in the bad thing, but to see him while we're in the bad thing. In other words, if Stephen would have looked upon the masses and become, you know, aware of his situation and began to backpedal his conversation to save his life, then he would have been under that control and he'd have been have to come to that another day. But instead, he just kept going. Ah, I see. He saw. He gazed. He's full. You have to be full of the Holy Spirit to see heaven. You have to be full of the Holy Spirit to do what we just did is we activated our spirit man. And we stirred up the gifts of God that are within us. And we started to go toward the Lord. And that activates the possibility of seeing more than we've ever seen or touched something we've never touched. So he gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God. The glory of God, within the glory of God and all the glory of God today, is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. So obviously there's Jesus. So be with me. You've got a Bible study. They're in your living room. They're looking for plates to throw at you. And you're going, whoa. And you're being influenced because Holy Spirit's, you're gazing. Heavens, there's the glory. There's Jesus. There's the Father. He's standing next to God. Amen. In this situation. And it says, he said. You see, what you see, you'll say. That's why we have to, we're not trying to be emotional, we're trying to be experiential. We're trying to work from a real connection where we are in the presence and inside his word, and God begins to open our eyes and we see something, hear something, our heart understands something that only Holy Spirit can give. 1 Corinthians 2, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but they are revealed by the Holy Spirit. It's not that God doesn't want us to have them. It's just you can't get them through the means of minds and emotions. But Holy Spirit reveals them. So he sees it, and now he loses. I think he probably was thinking, I hear a low rumble of a kind of disgruntled sound in the midst of my room. It sounds like a little bit of grinding of teeth. They're going to have to see a dentist after a while. Get a mouth guard. You know, they're just, and instead he's, I see, look, I see the heavens opened. And the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. There is the gospel message. There is the sound. This is the conclusion to the matter. This is the conclusion of Jesus' coming to earth, dying for our sins, being raised from the dead, to be ascended, to sit at the right hand of God, to be this glorious redeemer, this healer, this deliverer, this ascended king. And they knew it. These are guys who know their Bible way better than we do. They got their books memorized. What he's seeing is a vision Daniel saw. And this vision that Daniel saw places the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God as the ascended Messiah. So he's having an experience with the Messiah in the midst of an anti-Messiah group, anti-Christ group. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears. Can you imagine? There comes this place where you snap, and you go, I'm just going to go violent against this because I don't know how to yield to it. I'm not willing to yield to it. And they go violent against it, and they stop their ears, and they ran at them with one accord. You can be filled with rage. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be together in one place in one accord, or you can run after somebody to get rid of them in one accord. And once you get in that synergy, what happens? They cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witnesses, verse 58, laid their clothes at the feet of Saul of Tarsus, a young man named Saul. And as they stoned Stephen, he was calling on God, saying, Lord, Jesus, receive my spirit. He's so caught up. He's still in the heavenly moment. I don't know if he felt the pain of the stones and the rocks hitting him. I don't know if he was being beyond that. It doesn't really matter because he knew where he was headed and he knew who was going to receive him. Receive my Holy Spirit. And then he says, he called on God saying, he knelt down, cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The gospel message is being demonstrated in the first witness, martyr, Stephen, is saying, Lord, do not charge them with the sin. The last man who had said that was Jesus. The first man to die said that. I just don't understand that, but that's the message we're supposed to be giving all the time. Lord, don't put that charge against them. Please don't. Instead, we're going around going, oh, God, take them down. Right? Take them down. Judge them. And we don't realize that that's not the message we carry. But the reason we carry that message is because it's not just what's happening. It's wrong what's happening. It's abusive. It's destructive. And we see the only way out is to shift something because that the filling of the Spirit opens us up to see heaven. Heaven shows us the Son of Man resurrected. We see that what he's accomplished is greater than what we're going through. So we can say, just release them from this. Because I want them, that's what you did. So I do. And here it was. Daniel chapter 7, I'm going to show you two verses and then we'll close. Because we did a good amount of work, but I want us to appreciate this message moment. Because next week when we get going, the church is going to explode. Because what happens after this is it looks like, oh, we're going to mess up the message and mess up the people. But instead, they just spread it like wildfire. Just took off because Holy Spirit was in charge. He could have had everybody at a peace, you know, kumbaya moment. Why can't we be friends? But he was provoking them. I want to go to Daniel chapter 7. Let me tell you where it is. I can't read my Bible at the same time. Thank God I wrote these down. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. This is a vision Paul. Rachel, you got me. Okay. I was watching in the night visions. That's better than Nightline. And behold, one like the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then he was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. Then all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. He saw the Son of Man. Jesus came to faith that he was the Son of Man, seen in Daniel 7. And here, Stephen has a vision that he is indeed the Son of Man, now standing next to the heaven. This was a messianic declaration that they knew that if we do not, either we accept this and we start a new path with our Messiah, or we have to silence the sound because this is unacceptable. We were not prepared for a suffering servant. We were not ready for someone to take upon the sin himself. So it's too conflicting. We're too angry. We're too threatened. We're too fearful. We're too envious. We're going to call it all wrong, but it's all really a bunch of upheaval in our own sanity. And so they heard this. He said this. Let me show you this. Matthew chapter 26. Chapter 2. This is the night of Passover. Matthew chapter 26, 2. You know that after 2 days is Passover, Jesus said to his disciples, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. See, Jesus read Isaiah 53. He did know that he had to become an offering for sin. So he was accepting that the first step toward glorification was death. And he was trusting the Father that he would be raised from the dead. And he'd been telling his disciples ever since Peter made the declaration that he was the Christ, he started telling everybody this is what the Christ is going to do first before he's raised from the dead. But he never talked about dying without speaking about being raised from the dead too, because he was confident in the Father's outcome, which is what we activated again inside of us today. Wherever I am, I'm not dying here. And if I do die here, I'm coming up out of here in a resurrected form. There's going to be life that's going to come out of this situation. And nothing's going to just get me buried under it. If I have to pick it up and keep carrying my cross just to follow Jesus, so be it. Okay, same chapter. Do you have it already, Rachel? 24. Ha! Why am I even doing this? All right, we'll follow you. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as it is written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. So now Passover's over. Judas goes to do his stuff. Then the next one. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answers, no, not the next verse, the next portion of Scripture. You were doing so, it's going to let you show off. Did you get it? No? Yeah. So after Jesus had a prayer meeting at Garden of Gethsemane, and they had a slumber party. So after 3 hours of sleeping, because they were in such an oppressive environment, I would never have survived Gethsemane. All the hordes of hell, brooding, sulfur breath everywhere. Intimidation, accusation, condemnation, threats. Jesus himself is beginning to be the sin bearer. He says, my soul's to the point of death. I want to die. He's just being crushed under the weight. His blood, he's sweating with blood coming out. He's just in this immense insanity. And the Bible says he prayed more earnestly and they fell asleep from suffering. That's what does it. So he comes up to them after 3 hours and he says, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. So here it is. He's fully aware. I am the Son of Man walking into my destiny. And he gets taken to Caiaphas's house. Can we go to that verse, Rachel? Okay. And those who had laid hold of him then led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimonies against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. So they had two witnesses. So it would seem like they're building a case to do their plan to murder him. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you not answer? Do you answer nothing? What is it? Did these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, now watch this. This is the high priest. He's the highest authority for God on earth, functioning temple. He's fully active in his role. And he says to Jesus, I put you under oath of the living God. Tell the truth, so help me God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, it is as you said. So he concurred. He said yes. But then he uses Daniel chapter 7 as his reference point. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Wow. The high priest tore his clothes. Why would some... This happens to me when I meet Jesus in his glorified state. There's only one Christ, only one glorified man, only one to whom we bow the knee to. And trust me, when we meet him, we bow. I mean, he may be real friendly while we start the conversation, but we will bow before we're done. He is Lord. I am not. And at times, he wants to address something I don't want addressed. And I can go, I can argue or I can resist. But all of us in this room, online, we're working at yielding. We're trying to give him his place. Sometimes it's super hard because you're going through a really bad place in life. And God says, call me good. Call me good. And you're looking around going, where? Show me good and I'll call you good. No, gaze. I am good. You're going through a really difficult time. You've been betrayed and no one has stood with you in the way they had promised they would. And he says, call me faithful. I go, what? If you're faithful, and you realize, yeah, this is true. You are who you say you are. And I can let what has happened to me or is happening to me define who you are, or I let who you say you are be who I worship. And this, beloved, is our maturing process. We're learning, as Jesus learned to hear the voice of the Father and agree with the scripture about him, we learn to hear the voice of Jesus and agree with the scripture of who we are in Christ. And we're in this moment. And then these high pressure points. This, in 1 Timothy 5 or 6, Paul says, this was Jesus holding his good confession before many witnesses, holding agreement. And so the high priest tears his clothes. He's spoken blasphemy. You've called yourself the Messiah. You've just agreed with Daniel's vision. You've just stepped into your role. And look now, we've all heard this blasphemy. What do you think? And they answered and said, he is deserving death. Then they spat on his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palm of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is it who struck you? Jesus' reason for the cross, stated by the high priest, was his declaring that he was the Son of Man, seen in the vision of Daniel. Stephen's death by stoning was because he had a vision of Jesus, the Son of Man, standing next to the right hand of God. I'm starting to think with my lightning fast mind that might just be a little important. Whatever you fight over is usually the most important stuff. And this message of the glorified Christ seated at the right hand of God, holding authority, holding healing, holding deliverance, holding everything that we are longing for and calling us into the future to reign with him, may far be the issue of where the conflict is, to try to get our vision off of that. In Revelation, we won't go there because we don't have time, but the first chapter, Jesus is described as the faithful witness and as the one who is coming in the clouds, and that every eye will see him. He tells his disciples, I'm coming, and there's going to be a separation when I come. You see, you don't want to see Jesus when he comes. You don't want that to be your first time. Let me rephrase that. You want to see him when he's sitting. You want to see him in his glorified position, giving him praise for who he is. And then when he comes, we'll be with him. Because we will see him as he is. We will be like him. And we will be with him in glory. That's why we practice setting our mind, our thoughts, our active thought life on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The way you overcome a bad day is turning your eyes on heaven and seeing Jesus. We are being contended over from the place of our reigning with Christ by being overwhelmed with life. And the overwhelmingness of life, and trust me, life is overwhelming. It is not like, Paul called them light afflictions. I don't call anything light. To me, I call them great tribulations. Because that's what they feel like. They get embedded in your emotions. They go into your mind. They accuse you of, where is God? What is he doing? How did I get here? And they really mess with you. But God is saying in all those times, just simple formula, if you want, get full of my spirit. Let my spirit have ascendancy. Get out of your head. Get out of your eyes. Get out of your thinking, out of your processing, out of your emotions. Go get into your spirit. Let my spirit fill your spirit. receive love into your heart, receive faith, what we did when we started. And from there then, gaze into heaven and see the Son of God, the glorified Son, Son of Man, in his victorious state. And ascribe to him his victory. And as you do, let his victory become all you see. And when you see his victory will affect all of my thoughts, my emotions, my feelings. And I begin to have a place of a connection in that place of where he is. Filled with the Holy Spirit, gaze into heaven, see the glory of God. There's Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Next thing you know, you're going around, you're coming out of your prayer meeting. Guess what? God's in the, we're in a revival. We're in a revival. But he's looking around going, I don't see any revival. We're in the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the history of the world. Where? God so loves me. I'm so blessed. I don't look like that. I'm getting married. Oh, who's a lucky dude? Jesus. You just start connecting to truth and to victory and to things that are beyond the limitations. And then, beloved, that's when the JLs rise up. Because you're not going around going, I don't give a rip where I am. I don't care how I got here. Whose sin is it? Probably mine. Certainly was yours too. I don't really care. Jesus Christ is Lord. He has my life. And I can prove it. I see him. And I'm in him. And he's appearing before the Father for me. So, I'm sorry, soul. Lay it down. Pick up the whatever, and let's keep going. And you start going, and you start going. Next thing you know, you're starting to look at things and go, whoa, this is incredible. When Joseph was now ruling Egypt, he's going, whoa, God, what a weird way to get me as a prime minister, but way cool now that I'm here. When David's on the throne and he's now ruling the kingdom of Israel, he's going, whoa, that's not the training I would have had, but I can see the value of what you gave me. When Saul of Tarsus is being found up by Barnabas and said, hey, we've got this new church. It's starting. It's a movement amongst Gentiles, Gentile-only speaking church. And there, we need somebody who understands how you're perfect for this job. Okay, I was just going to live in Arabia the rest of my life. You see, God knows where you live. He knows who you are. He knows what he made you for. He knows what he's going to do with you. You don't have to worry about it. All we have to do is gaze and see Jesus. Yeah, let's just close with the prayer right there. Lord, we just need to see you. And I want to admit to you before everyone else, I lose sight of you so quickly. I need you, Holy Spirit. I don't think I can do this. I know I can't. I've told you this now. I don't have the zeal of my youth, the energy. I don't have the willfulness. I don't have the stubbornness, which was my willfulness. I don't have any of the things that I thought was going to contribute to your kingdom advancement. And you, we need you, Holy Spirit, to be the source. Would you fill us? Would you fill me? I know there's more. I know you can stretch forth your hand to heal, signs and wonders. And I know it isn't my fault that they're not happening. Because I'm not Christ. I can acknowledge my neediness, but I'm not taking the blame for it. You took the blame for everything. I need faith to come alive, not accusation. We humble ourselves and we ask you, just join with me. Fill me, Holy Spirit, so I can see Jesus in his glorified state over my life circumstances. If Stephen could see Jesus in heaven next to the right hand of God while people are grinding their teeth at him, we can see Jesus in a bad job, in a bad marriage, in a bad moment, a bad morning. It doesn't matter. We can find him. We're being trained to do this. Jesus prayed to Gethsemane and knew that that was the night he would make the declaration of who he was and it would get him killed. But it also bring him into his prophetic destiny of being the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God. So it is true for us, every one of us. or someplace in this glorious drama that God has set in motion long ago before we came on the scene. And all it takes to get our part back, to get our lines back, is just to return. Jesus, you're everything. You're in charge. You're the director. Holy Spirit, you're the producer. You set the lines. You give me my words. I speak what you say. Go ahead. Let him return to you. I see him coming. Like the Holy Spirit's first starting. We got to put a new costume back on you. Overcomer, victorious one. Bride, loved. Here's your lines I want you to begin to say. Learn them. Feel them. Live in them. Here's the set. Here's the scene. I am King, and you are mine. I am in you, and you're in me. And here is the power to do what you could not do. Holy Spirit, come.
Fill my life till all I see is you.
Up. I heard him just sing. He said, I want you to sing even more faith. And I heard him say, you fill me up. Now all I see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. In the midst of our circumstances and struggles of life, in whatever is conflicting against the great and glorious name of Jesus Christ, we now can sing, you fill me up. Now all I see is you, Lord. Gaze.
Is you, Lord, glory.
Gaze into heaven.
Name you fill me up till all I see is you, Lord, glorify your
yes.
name.
Fill me up.
You fill me up now.
I see you, Jesus.
I see you,
Lord. Tell him. Just tell him the Bible. That's a good thing to see. I see you, glorious, triumphant.
Whoa. I see you.
Holy Spirit, we ask you to seal us in the one whom we believe, the one whom we see, the one whom we hear of, so that we might have you as the guarantee of the deposit, of the guarantee of the access point, to return to you and seeing Jesus again and again until all that we see is Jesus and all that Jesus sees is us, and the union and the oneness and the sound begins to reverberate. And others are given the opportunity of this glorified in Christ. So we bless you, Holy Spirit, for being that down payment, that guarantee of the redemption to the purchased possession. We thank you for being the enabler to empower us to see into heaven and see Jesus. We thank you, Jesus Christ, that you're above everything, and our Lord. And you're kind and you're good and you're gentle and generous no matter where we are. Lord, help us grow this in ourselves, not by ourselves, but with you, in you, with Holy Spirit, with the living word, with time. Make a place for all of these dimensions that you want for us to live in and enjoy so well, free, completely, become fully ours, or really, we become fully yours. That's easier. Make us the vessels filled. We are yours. We're yours. Thank you, Jesus. As we go, I just bless you to take this place with you home. Find a practice point. Grow it in your own personal prayer practice, because there's something of this sound that's ascending. And it's going to take over more and more of lives, more and more people, till Christ is seen in his church again. So God bless you.